the party structure, as much as I hate it, I don't think Elon Musk throwing a third party in is going to fix the hypocrisy problem that we have in this country that leads to these things.
Doge is the monster that that might have to go back and eat Elon. Wouldn't that be terrible? Elon's very upset that the EV mandate is going to be terminated.
Zach Abraham, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Elon's not, though. Oh,
no,
he's back.
He's not
he's
happy.
Back at it. He's not happy. He says if it's the last thing he does on this earth, he will make sure that every member of Congress who campaigned on reducing government spending and then immediately voted for the biggest debt increase in history will lose their primary next year. If it's the last thing he does on earth.
Jeez.
Not good. He also said, and this is the thing that gets me. It's obvious with the insane spending of this bill, which increases the debt ceiling by a record $5 trillion, that we live in a one-party country, the Porky Pig Party. Time for a new political party that actually cares about the people. Now, you and I have both agreed that both parties have a spending problem, correct?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
To act like we only have one party in this country and that there's really no daylight between the left and the right is just not true. There's a lot of
no.
daylight.
No, now I will say that, and I think, I would say that there's a lot of daylight between the left and right as they exist right now.
Yes.
Right? Meaning if the right had their way, the real traditional structural right had their way, I think there'd be a lot less daylight between the right and the left.
Yeah.
And I think a perfect illustration of that is Liz Cheney's a Democrat, right?
Yep.
Like, so.
Yep.
You know, we'll take neocons. I mean, the neocons just kind of, they just migrated right over and made themselves at home, right? So I still think that you do have very much like this ruling class I think that is the source of the vast majority of the animus against Trump is because he is outside of that class. Not financially, right? But just in terms of, you know, he doesn't play nice with those people.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is that kind of Porky Pig Party element to it. But and then the other thing you got to ask Elon is, look, I support virtually everything he's saying, except have you stopped and asked yourself if you're so worried about the budget, and you should be, and I think he's dead right, are you better make sure that those elections that you want to interfere with, you better make sure that does something positive
right.
on the budget side.
Correct.
Right. Like. Because if you enable a bunch of more blue hair wokies that get elected, the budgets you got to be kidding me! Like you're going to keep blowing it out. I mean,
it wouldn't be better if the Democrats were at the helm. Wouldn't be better
no.
if Democrats were at the helm. And this idea that and he's saying primary, so I guess assuming, you know, we want Republicans to challenge those Republicans who he believes are more fiscal conservatives, but even some of the most fiscally conservative, quote unquote, members of Congress are voting for the big, beautiful bill because, you know, maybe they might see some flaws with it, but there's things in it they like, and President Trump, it's his thing, and so they don't want to run afoul of President Trump. But this idea, I mean, but your point is well taken that, okay, if you're going to try to primary these people and then a Democrat ends up taking their seat, you've done a net negative for the country. So let's not go there.
I'm not at all saying that there can't be fiscally conservative Democrats. I mean, obviously there have been. I'm just talking about those are not the types of Democrats that are winning elections
right
now. Right. And like, that's not the warrior. Those aren't the kind of warriors the left is self-selecting at this point. Like we said, both parties have a spending problem. I just think that you got to be a little bit careful when you're going down the path he's talking about because, you know, you could make it way worse.
Yeah. Retribution doesn't always work out. This other thing, and I'm passionate about this as an independent, and some people think that means that I'm, you know, in an independent party. No, it's just I'm independent in the sense that I'll vote for the best person. I don't really care about the party affiliation. But when people like him say, time for a new political party that actually cares about the people. No matter how you do it, organized politics, there's always going to be a problem with it. And, you know, who's going to organize it? Who's going to decide what the new political party looks like? Well, then whatever they care about that's best for the people, that's going to be what they pursue. And it's not necessarily going to be best for the other 50% of people who don't agree with it. So there's you cannot convince me that there's a quote unquote new party that would be better than the existing parties. Now, I think a third option would be good, but you can't tell me that it's going to be all of a sudden we're going to come up with a party structure, a party organizational structure where they put people before the party organizational structure. Just not possible.
Yeah, yeah. Or people before money. The other thing that people need to be very careful about, it's funny, we actually had a conversation this weekend about this, but I said, look, I am disgusted by both parties, quite honestly.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I'm disgusted by the people that are in them. And I think that, again, right now is a different time because of Trump and his influence on things. But I think the average voter would be shocked at how little daylight there is between truly, you know, behind the scenes in the at the cocktail parties, right? After they yell at each other on C-SPAN and then yeah. they're having dinner together, yeah. you know, later that night. It is a disgusting place. But you always have to sit back. This is kind of like investing, right? You have to think about knock-on effects and you have to think about secondary effects, right? Which in this situation, third party, that may make things better. That may bring better candidates to the fore. But third parties are also how Hitler and Hamas got elected.
There you go.
So, you know, and one of the reasons that we've always pushed back against third parties is you're going to end up with somebody that only 33-34% of the population voted for. Oh,
there it is.
Right? So like you got to wait. I mean, there's the, you know, that's the other thing is we need to be adult in our thinking and realizing, like you said, there is no silver bullet. There's no magic party that you're going to form that's going to be structured the right way. So human character and, you know, human proclivities don't play out. Right, it's going to be the one political party that we ever invent that's going to be devoid of greed and grift. I doubt it.
Well, and what? Right? Devoid of ideology? Like, how do you make a perfect political party that caters and actually cares about the people? Because no matter what, you're going to push policies that a lot of people don't like and some people do. So that doesn't make sense. Like Andrew Yang, and I like Andrew Yang. He's been on the show a few times, but he's commenting under it. We're already doing that. Elon Musk. It's called Forward Party. And I've had Andrew Yang on. I've read his book Forward to talk about the Forward Party. But this is a guy who ran for mayor of New York City under universal basic income. Like this is a guy who's very far to the left. So you're telling me that he's going to be able to create a party that most Americans can get behind? I don't think so. And I mean, you can. I am totally opposed to the two-party system. But not in the sense that I feel like a third party would be better, in the sense that all we need to do is to convince people that they don't have to be so beholden to their political party. They have to demand better of the people who share their ideology, and they can't be so hypocritical. That's the only thing that's going to fix it.
No, and you just said it, and I don't know how you get around to doing this, but that to me has always been the issue, is that as the constituency has ceased. Now, they've never been great at it, but I think there's plenty of records of them being far more demanding than they are now. But the electorate, by and large, or the constituency, have not demanded better.
Right.
Like exactly. They have not held their party's feet to the fire, right? They haven't done. And again, it's most visible right now on the left. But, you know, if you want a perfect example of that, we're, you know, let's see. I mean, of the last 25 years, Bush had 8, Trump's got 4 starting, you know, the two of them will be at 16. So, I mean, you've had presidents in the White House for half the time. Look what's going on with the debt.
Yeah.
Right. Like just save all the flapping mouse and the gums, whatever. Just show me the numbers. Right. The debt has gone up just as fast underneath Republican watches as on Democrats. And why is that? Because government spending makes everything easier, right? It makes the economy look better, makes GDP look better. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's stimulative, and it's easier to print than to give money away. Then, you know, is it easier to give your kids ice cream or make them do chores?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we've got to get to a point, and it starts, like I said, it's most visible at this point on the left, but it starts with just understanding what your politicians are advocating for. Until we know what's going on, until we, you know, we quit viewing or we quit listening to people on The View for political information, you know what I mean? Like we're actually, you know, what's going on. We don't stand a chance, and we're not holding politicians' feet to the fire. We're not holding them accountable. I mean, look at the passes. You're all over Ferguson. I mean, the guy campaigned on not raising taxes.
Yeah. Right.
And
weird.
And how long's he been in office? 4 months, 5 months, yep. Largest tax increase in the history of the state.
And he gets he gets away with it just like that. And people won't they'll go out this week. They'll pay higher gas prices because the 6% gas tax takes effect. And they'll be like, wow, gas prices are really high. And they won't tie it to Bob Ferguson and the Democrats and all of that. It's not a political party problem. It's a moral hypocrisy problem. It's an information problem. And it's a lack of independent thought where we really have a hard time pulling ourselves out of this bubble of, and then the algorithm makes it worse because now the algorithm's just feeding us what we want to hear. And so it's just telling us what we want to hear. So we have a problem in a bunch of areas. But the party structure, as much as I hate it, I don't think Elon Musk throwing a third party in is going to fix the hypocrisy problem that we have in this country that leads to these things. The other hypocrisy things, you'll just get a kick out of this. I love the Democrats race into Congress, to the Senate floor, to read the big, beautiful bill because they say Republicans haven't even read it. Republicans, it's 1,900 pages long. Republicans haven't even read the big, beautiful bill. You think Democrats ever read the bills they vote on either? None of them read the bills. No,
it's so stupid. And there's always been an aspect of it, but not this and not this big. And we were just having a conversation about this in our offices. But I think it's something everybody needs to be aware of. And you need to wake up and start observing it for what it is. Politics is increasingly becoming a theater of the absurd and kabuki theater.
Yeah.
This is all nonsense. Why do I think that's something that people need to be aware of? Because culturally speaking, when you're looking at the world through a historical lens, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning when you see politics, you know, devolve to where they are, both in terms of the quality of people that we have up there, the intellectual capacity of those people we have up there, and what it is that they spend their time doing, when it begins to look like a circus, that usually earmarks the downfall of a culture. It's where you're at. Now, the other interesting thing about it is if you look at those other downfalls of those cultures, they also typically accompany mass fraud, mass grift, a total enrichment of the political class, and an obsession with sexuality and gender. Meanwhile, what's going on over in China is they are quickly developing one of, if not getting close to the world's best educational system as far as universities. They're not exposing their kids to TikTok and all this kind of stuff. And that, you know, they're leading the world in STEM grads and people, you know, becoming engineers. And everybody here, you know, the kids here all want to be an online influencer. We're in a tough spot. And it's not me being, you know, cheerleading against the United States. It's not me saying the sky is falling. But unless we wake up as a people and realize, guys, we are headed in the wrong direction and we're going there fast, we're going to have some serious issues, and we already do, but they're not insurmountable. But boy, it's heading that direction.
I agree. So one good thing to come out of the big, beautiful bill debate, looks like they're pulling back that idea to sell the public lands. We discussed it on the show last week. Thanks in part to Congressman Dan Newhouse of Washington. There were just too many Republicans who said, I won't vote for it if it's in there. And it was kind of universally condemned as an idea to sell some of these public lands to raise money, which, as you pointed out on the show last week, will still only amount to like a tiny fraction of, I mean, it will be just like a rounding error, essentially, and it won't get us out of the situation that we're in. So happy to hear that.
Especially when you start talking about, what happens to that land? Who owns it? First of all, that could be a problem in of mm-hmm. itself, right?
Yeah.
But second of all, like you and I were talking about, it's an amount of money that means nothing.
Yeah.
And the land does not mean nothing.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Yeah, there's some good examples. I mean, I'm not saying you should sell the national parks, right? But I am opposed to, for instance, state governments buying up acreage for no reason. And they're doing that in Washington State. You look at a map. I mean, Washington State is constantly spending millions of dollars buying up otherwise sort of useless, unless you're a farmer or a rancher. You know, buying this land that there's no reason for them to buy except to just consolidate land ownership when there are farmers and ranchers who would be happy to have that land and be able to run cattle and grow crops and all of this stuff. So I think there's a definite difference when it comes to federal land versus state land ownership and all of that stuff. But either way, it's out of the big, beautiful bill. Not happening. With that, let's get to our Doge Miss of the Week. All right. The media celebrated when Big Balls left. oh, big, you know, Doge sucked so bad that even Big Balls left Doge. It must have been a horrible place to work if this 19-year-old left. Well, it turns out he left to continue to work for the government. He's now working in the Social Security Administration.
Fantastic. Good for him. This hating on, we've talked about it, but every time one of these stories comes up, and even the way it gets framed, I sit there and I'm like, can somebody explain to me again why you guys hate this so bad? Well, yeah. What is your deal? Well, it's Musk isn't elected. And be like, yeah, I know he isn't. He doesn't have control over the purse. Yeah, I know. Nobody said he did.
Right.
It's just so bizarre. Again, if you want to talk about the things that they're fired up about and the things that they're not, it blows my mind.
Well, and instead of celebrating this 19-year-old kid, and there were other ones who dropped out of school to help with Doge's efforts to streamline the government, and they were mostly working in that capacity. They were trying to use their tech skills and their knowledge of AI and all of this to streamline, not cut services, to streamline services, which sounds like what he's going to be doing. His real name is Edward Korestein, by the way. His government name is not Big Balls. But he's going to work, his work will focus on improving the functionality of the Social Security website and advancing our mission of delivering more efficient service to the American people. Nothing wrong with that. And then if a 19-year-old wants to dedicate, you know, his expertise, which I think is pretty unique to this younger generation, with streamlining the government, and you want to vilify him because somewhere at some point in the internet he called himself Big Balls, it's like, come on, grow up. You grow up.
He was like 16.
I know. Thank God that things I wrote on the internet when I was that age are maybe timed out by now.
I thank God that, like, when I was in high school, nobody had phones, but even if they did, they didn't have cameras on them. You know what I mean? Like, I just think about being able to sidestep so many issues by not being in the social media age and not being in the cell phone age.
I mean, I was still in it. My high school years are definitely documented by social media in pictures, which is unfortunate. But I cannot, like, the younger millennials, when they start running for public office and get to the age where they're running for president and stuff, can you imagine the things that will come out? You know, because wasn't it Bush or was it Clinton, the whole, like, did you smoke weed and all of this?
He didn't inhale.
Now, all of them are going to have pictures of them smoking doobies. You know, there's nothing that they haven't done on camera.
I know. So. I know. It's wild. It's really wild. That's why my kids don't have social media.
Good.
But it's one of the things that we talk about all the time, and I point out to them, I'm like, see how stupid that is?
Mm-hmm.
That lasts forever. Yeah. Right. And we all know that, but just, I'm continually trying to point out examples to them of it going wrong, just hoping that they're going to make some stupid mistakes. They're kids, but there's some that are really easily avoidable. The part of it that I don't get is, I feel like I wouldn't have done that nearly as much as they do it anyway. I see kids post stuff all the time. I'm like, why would you post that?
Yeah, I'd like to say that, but I don't know. I did post some dumb stuff. Like on Facebook. Do you have a Facebook account still?
No.
No. Okay. No. Well, you're
never have one.
In the clear. So on my personal Facebook, which I don't really use anymore, occasionally there'll be a, on this date, 10 years ago, and it'll give you a post that you posted on this date 10 years ago.
Yeah,
or seven
yeah.
years ago, whatever. And it'll be something so stupid. And I'll be like, what? Why would I ever post that? And it was just 10 years ago. So, I mean, I don't know. If I had the skills of Big Balls, I would be spending that time and expertise scrubbing the internet of my entire history. That's what I would use.
Oh,
that
yeah.
for. Not fixing the Social Security Administration. Crazy. What I'm saying is there is some stuff online, Zach. If I ever run for office, I don't know. There's some stuff online. All right. I never called myself Big Balls, but I did have some nicknames. Bambi was one of them. My nickname in high school was Bambi, which sounds sort of like a stripper name, but it was because I was very clumsy. I got hurt a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have pegged you for that.
My husband always jokes about it, though, because I was also very tan. Like, I was... You know, we did the tanning beds. We're getting way far afield, beds. And then my hair was bleach blonde. So he always refers to Bambi because it's kind of like a stripper name, I think, in his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, it wouldn't be bad if Bambi made a comeback now and then. I think he wants me to do a spray tan and wear a real blonde wig and, I don't know, sport some high heels for him or something. Anyway, TMI. TMI. All right, let's get to other, before I dig myself into a hole I can't get out of, other Doge adjacent news. So maybe this Doge thing is running off, rubbing off on the Democrats a little bit. So I don't, not really. I mean, you know where I'm going. Not really. But
yeah.
So California, like Washington State, is in the middle of a budget crisis, but even has the far fringe lefties starting to think about, okay, maybe we can't, as a government, pay for everything we want. Maybe we do have to pick and choose what our priorities are. So here's a Democratic member of the California Assembly questioning some of the line items that they're spending money on in the middle of a budget crisis.
I'd like to ask, what is the $5 million for the belonging campaign?
Justin Edelman, Department of Finance. The $5 million for belonging campaign is a one-time investment to work with the Office of Community Outreach and Communications to investigate, you know, the loneliness epidemic identified by the Surgeon General, to kind of outreach to communities to look up partnerships and, you know, work with individuals who are feeling marginalized and, you know, absent kind of community growth in California.
Okay. And I'm sure that the undocumented kids who don't have access and don't have a parent with them probably feel very alone as well.
So now she wants to spend the money on something also lefty, you know, helping the kids of undocumented immigrants. But at least instead of saying that, this plus, you know, this and this, she's saying, well, maybe we don't need this $5 million study to study loneliness. Why are marginalized communities so lonely? So I still think she wants to spend the money on something crazy, but at least it's they're thinking about or, not and. And I like that.
I guess you could say that's a silver lining, but I just can't escape. I hear these people talk and I'm just going, what on earth are we talking about?
People are lonely.
That $5 million does nothing more than pay ridiculous salaries to people that didn't earn half the amount. It is just a joke. And the worry about, like, I care about all the kids in this country, but why don't you care about kids that are here legally? I care about those kids too. No, look, you can't take care of every kid in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't do it. Okay. We can't afford it. Okay. We know that the kids are here legally, including immigrant kids, are getting jobbed by the education system, getting jobbed in every way possible. Why don't we fix it blows my mind. And until we get rid of this mind virus that has just taken over this country, we're in a bad way. And like I said, you flip around and you go look at what China's doing.
Yep.
You know, I think one of the biggest proponents of all of this climate change and wokeism, I honestly think China's behind a lot.
Oh, 100%.
And the reason why, I think not only are we cutting our own risks, but all of it benefits them, right? All of us trying to transition to solar, right? Who's making all the solar panels? They are. You know, the other thing it does is it reduces the demand for other sources of energy that China continues to use more of, right? So like it, not only do they get to sell it to you, but it makes the rest of the energy sources cheaper by default. People are like, are they going to attack? They don't have to attack us. They'll just sit back and let us do it to ourselves.
Yep.
Because we're doing it to ourselves far more efficiently than they ever could. Somebody brought up the other day, right? Like there's intentionality to this stuff. Like the sending of precursors to pharmaceutical drugs and fentanyl to our country, right? You and I, my analyst brought this up. You know what I think that is? I think that is a retribution for the heroin dens that us and the UK pushed on them way back in the day.
Interesting.
And it's just too much of a one-off, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're getting it. And part of you goes, yeah, we earned that one.
Well, it does make America weaker. It does. I mean, yeah. The fentanyl crisis, it bankrupts our cities and our counties and our states as we try to deal with it. So, I mean, China's playing a strategic long game. Well, we're spending money studying things like, why are kids lonely? I'll give you a dollar, Zach. Why are kids lonely? Go for it. Shoot your shot.
I don't know. You tell me.
Social media.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Other than that. Yeah. Yeah, social media. It's isolating. Yeah, it's isolating.
They have fake friends. Well,
yeah. And you're lonely. I mean, everybody. Yeah. If you spend too much time on social media, you're going to be. And it gives everybody that feeling. I mean, you go look at the studies they've done on depression. You get somebody off their phone and like 5 days later, they're like, you know, yeah.
touch some grass.
Get off the constant dope. Yeah, no kidding. But you know, that also takes, and this is why all this stuff is so complicated, because, you know, the problem is as government spans further and further, people attribute more and more responsibility to government, right? Instead of, kids are lonely because parents aren't doing a good job.
Yeah.
Kids are lonely because parents aren't making sure kids get off their phones, get outside, like you said, touch grass. You know, the kind of things that have worked raising kids for millennia, you know, because they're not different. They're not new. They're kids, just like you and I were.
They're kids. So, they're going to have the problems you let them have. So I also want to note, so there was a part of the big, beautiful bill that would have kicked illegal immigrants off Medicaid, and it has officially failed. So at first, to kick illegal immigrants off Medicaid, they would have needed just 50 plus one vote. So 51 votes, J.D. Vance could have broken the tie or whatever. But then the parliamentarian, so the Senate parliamentarian, decided they needed 60 votes as part of a rule. So it got 56 votes. So illegals can still have Medicaid.
Look, so this will sound weird coming from me. I understand in certain cases why some people have some trepidation about that part of the bill. But this goes to my whole point about the most frustrating thing to me about all of this is it's just another example of us not addressing or talking about the real issue, which is the need for structural immigration reform.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
You know, there are a lot of kids out there that are probably entitled to illegals that shouldn't be, whose parents have been paying taxes, who's, you know, that have been working, that didn't come here for handouts. I want those people to have citizenship. And the thought of those people getting kicked off Medicaid. Now, the only problem is, though, if you think about who's on Medicaid, I don't know this, but my assumption is it's probably not stocked full of people that came here to bust their tails.
Yeah.
That would be my thought.
Yeah, and fair.
Not judging anybody, you know, I wouldn't want to jump to conclusions on that before I looked at it, but I find it really hard to believe that that's the majority of the Medicaid rolls. But even then, if you think back, you step back and you go, hey guys, just think about what you said out loud. Okay, you cannot have a system that pays social benefits to people that aren't citizens. It doesn't work.
Period.
And you should know this, guys. And all you're doing is jeopardizing every other citizen, right? Like it's coming at a cost, and it's all of us. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to have, you know, like even China, you look at it and go, yeah, they're so much more authoritarian. Well, yeah, because it's more communist, meaning the one thing you can't do is have a government that covers all the bills and then just say, everybody's come on in. There's no borders.
Right. Right? Just insane. We even have to have a vote on that. Even have to have a vote on having illegals have access to our social safety net.
Yeah. Insane. Now, if you were pitching drastically, you know, amnesty and way looser borders and all that kind of stuff, and the kicker was you also wanted a mass reduction in government handouts and government benefits, I'm not going to favor it, but that's a logical position to take, right? Like, you can defend that logically. What you cannot defend is expanding the nanny state and opening borders at the same time, because then we were built on immigrants. They weren't coming here for free checks, man. They were coming here for opportunity, which is an incredibly different motivation and draws an incredibly different quality of person.
Yeah, and they can get Medicaid. They just have to be Americans. There you go. Got to come the right way. All right, Zach Abraham, still bullish on Doge?
Love it. Keep it rolling.
Love it. Love it. I want those Doge tentacles to reach states like ours. And really, if I see Democrats here passionate about cutting nonsense stuff like laser hair removal for transgender inmates, I'll celebrate that all day long.
Oh,
all day long. All right,
Zach.
We'll see you next week.